All right, take your Bibles tonight, please, and turn with me to the book of the Revelation, chapter 8. Revelation, chapter 8. You need to take your shoes off so you can count that. Marty liked that one. All right, let's read just one verse, please. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible here says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." I want to speak to you tonight on the half hour of silence in heaven. If you will look back at chapter 6, verse 1, you will see that the Lord, the one who is worthy, took the book of the seals, and he started opening up the seals. In chapter 6, you are at the beginning of the tribulation period. In chapter 4, the church was taken out. And in chapter 4 and 5, John is writing about the church in heaven, giving glory and honor and praise to the Lord for our salvation, for our redemption. And then in chapter 6, John comes back to the earth to watch the tribulation period unfold. The tribulation period is a 7-year period that will take place once the church is in heaven and last for 7 years until the Lord comes back with the church to defeat the armies of the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon, and then the Lord establishes his 1,000-year millennial reign. The Lord comes back in chapter 19. So chapter 6, all the way through chapter 18, is a description of the tribulation period. It is not going to be a pretty sight. Now, I personally believe, and I can't prove this other than just years and years of studying the book of the Revelation, but I personally believe that that chapter 8, verse 2, is the beginning of the second 3.5 years. Now, I can't prove that just from my own study and my own reading of God's Word. I think that the second half, what is called the time of Jacob's trouble, and it is going to be a time of great judgment and wrath from God poured out upon this earth and upon people who are following the Antichrist and opposed to God. And I think that tribulation, the second half of it, begins in chapter 8, verse 2. Now, there are different theories on that as to when it actually begins. But for me, it makes sense that the first half of the tribulation is described in the 6th chapter, and that it will take a little time for these sealed judgments to get into effect and do what God intends those judgments to do. And in chapter 7, You have the 144,000 witnesses, 12,000 from each of the tribes, and they will go out as evangelists, and they will be preaching the gospel to the multitudes of people who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And then I think that the second half of the tribulation begins in verse 2 of this chapter. But what I want you to notice is in verse 1, it said, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." 30 minutes of silence. I want us to think about that tonight. Let's pray together and then the message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible and an amazing book is the book of the Revelation. Thank you for what we can glean from this book. And as we look at this book tonight, I pray that the Spirit of God will instruct and guide and direct our hearts. And Father, help each one of us tonight to see the urgency of the hour. Help us to understand that the day of the Lord is at hand. And may it light a fire in our bones. May it get us excited about living for the Lord in these last days. And Father, I pray that you will fill me with the Spirit of God and help me tonight. I want to be clear, and I want, Father, your word to make a difference in our understanding of what's going on in our world today. Help us, and we'll give you praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I think, without any doubt at all, that the busiest place in the entire universe is heaven. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Everything good that comes to this earth comes from the hand of God who sits upon the throne in heaven. James said, "Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Each day, now just think about it. Each day, all over this earth, folks leave here. Their life is up. And they are carried by the angels into the presence of the Lord. Each day. Just a couple of Sunday nights ago, a dear friend of mine, a fellow that I preached for a few times through the years, came home from church on a Sunday evening. It had snowed, and so he went in the house, changed clothes, put on some winter attire, and went out into the garage, got his snowblower. And his wife thought, "Well, he sure has been out there a long time." Well, he wasn't out there anymore. He went on to heaven. Heaven's a busy place. Every morning when I'm at the office, and I've kind of gotten into the routine even when I'm not in the office, but I get on the Charleston Gazette website and I look at the obituaries to see who has passed away that I went to high school with, to see who's passed away that used to call me pastor. And often I read somebody's name that I know. You know, heaven's a busy place. There's something going on there all the time. The Bible portrays heaven as a busy place. The Bible does. The Bible talks about how it's an active place. There's always something going on. Symbolically, you read of wheels, wheels in heaven. You read of wings. You read of music, grand processionals of horses parading back and forth. We read of angels coming and going. It's a busy place. But here in this passage, we read of a time coming, hasn't happened yet, but it's coming, when all of heaven will stand still. Think about it. All of the angels will stop in mid-flight and bow their heads. The riders on the white horses will rein in their chargers. Even the redeemed will stop praising the God of heaven, praising Him for His free and glorious salvation for the space of 30 minutes. The omnipotent voice will cry, "Stop!" And for the space of half an hour, there will be silence in heaven. That's a sobering thought. You know, as far as I can tell, this is the only time since time began that heaven will shut down and will stand in complete silence. You see, heaven is not like other cities. And it never stops like other cities stop. Heaven does not stop for nightfall because there is no night there. Heaven does not stop for a plague of some kind, for nobody up there ever gets sick. Some cities will shut down when it snows, or when there's a hurricane, or flash flooding of some kind. But none of those things ever affect the city of gold. Now, why will there be silence in heaven for the space of half an hour? Well, all I can do is speculate here, because there is no explanation for the silence. But as I thought on it, I think that it is the silence of sadness, of mourning, of sorrow for what the earth and mankind will have to endure during the second half of the tribulation period. When you get to the end of chapter 7, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period will be completed. And as bad as the first 3.5 years will be, I mean, you go back and read chapter 6 and you will find the earth convulsing and reeling under the judgment hand of God. But the second half is going to be 10,000 times worse than the first. So for 30 minutes, before the wrath and the fierceness of Almighty God is unleashed upon sin-cursed men and unleashed upon a sin-cursed earth and unleashed upon a sin-cursed Satan, all of heaven ceases, and its hurried activity will stop. And everything and everyone in heaven will stand in silence in respect for what is about to come upon mankind. Now, just a couple of thoughts. First of all, I want you to think with me of the power of patient silence. There's a story that I remember from school. Back 500 years before the Lord Jesus, in Greece, there was a poet by the name of Aeschylus. And he was condemned to death for writing something that offended the people. They got angry and demanded that he be executed. All the pleas for his life to be spared were of no avail until his brother went out to a graveyard behind their house and dug up his brother's hand that had been cut off by a sword in the battle of Salamis. And they came in for the sentencing, and the place was packed, and his brother sat in the front. And when the judge called Aeschylus to stand so the sentence could be read, his brother stood up, reached down into a bag, and just held up the bones of his brother's hand. He never said a word. People in the courtroom started looking around at one another, and folks were wondering, what in the world? And then they remembered that Aeschylus had lost his hand. The brother never said a word, and the silence became deafening until the judge dismissed the case, and Aeschylus lived. Folks, the loudest thing on earth is silence. If that silence is of the right kind and at the right time. Today, often in public events, the crowd will be asked to stand and give a moment of silence in honor or in memory of some tragic event that has transpired. And here, in our text, the 30 minutes of silence will speak with a deafening roar. You see, for so long now, the world has rejected God. The world has rejected the Son of God. The world has rejected the Word of God and thus rejected the truth. And when this chapter begins, it's almost like all of heaven stands silent because they know what's coming. They know exactly what's coming. Folks, you just look at our world today and you will see a world living as if there is no God. You look at our world today and you will see a world living as if there is no Bible and no absolute truth. All over this country, states are convening their state representatives and the topics up for approval all over America. If they haven't already done it, the topic's up for approval by almost every state are gay rights, legalizing marijuana, increasing the abortion money, welfare, increasing the minimum wage to further redistribute wealth, and create even fewer jobs and more poverty. Folks, our biblical heritage is being destroyed all over this country. All over the country. And from Revelation 8:2 all the way through the end of Revelation 18, the world is about to find out who they have been rejecting. And so the busiest place in the entire universe stands still for 30 minutes with a deafening silence that will no doubt be a roaring silence before the 30 minutes are up. And you know, I noticed something as I was reading this. It doesn't say it, but it's there. We need to realize that all of heaven will participate and honor the silence. I want you to think about that for a moment. It is quite incredible when you think about it. The seraphims that Isaiah saw above the throne of God will stand silent. May I remind you that from eternity past, those angelic creatures have hovered over the throne of God day and night and have cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory." But here, at the midpoint of the tribulation, even they will stand silent with bowed heads at the judgment and destruction that is about to be unleashed on this earth. All the saints of God gathered around the throne. How'd we get there? A lot of us through death. We've got a lot of Church of the Open Door family up around the throne right now. But then the rapture will take place. And when that rapture takes place, all the redeemed are going to go to heaven. You can read about all the redeemed in heaven in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And we're all gathered around the throne shouting, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5 for just a second. Look at verse 12. Chapter 5 and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne of God and to the Lamb forever." Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? But then you get to chapter 8, and even all the redeemed are standing silent before the throne. The historian Josephus writes about that day in 70 AD when the temple was set ablaze in Jerusalem. He said that the Romans ordered the temple to be filled with timber. Dried timber. And once it was filled, they poured an accelerant over the wood. They shut the doors. And then he saw a Roman soldier stand on the shoulders of another Roman soldier. And they handed him a lit torch and he threw it through a window inside the temple, setting it on fire. The doors were shut and they walked away. And Josephus said that the whole city of Jerusalem stood silent for hours and hours and hours and hours turned into a couple of days just waiting to see what would happen. He said the silence in Jerusalem was roaring silence as people stood not knowing just exactly what would happen. When the fire burned up all of the oxygen that was inside the temple, the fire had to have air, so it exploded from its cocoon, and not one stone was left upon another, just like the Lord Jesus said would happen. Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled." What things? That temple being destroyed. He told the disciples, "There will not be one stone left upon another." You go over there today and you walk on that ramp that goes over to the western wall, walking along the western side, and you look down in that valley, and there are huge rocks that were the rocks of the temple. And they were just blown to bits. And Josephus said that the people of Jerusalem stood in anguished silence. And he said that silence was deafening. Amazing. Why did they do that? Because they knew what was coming. They knew what was coming. And for hours they stood in the silence, awaiting the inevitable. And that same patient silence will one day happen in heaven. For once we all get to heaven and see with our literal eyes our majestic Savior sitting upon the throne, we will know that this sinful, defiant world can never withstand the wrath that is about to be unleashed upon them. Second thing I want you to notice, the silence in heaven will preempt 3.5 years of heaven's roaring. Beginning here in this 8th chapter and continuing on to the end of chapter 18, heaven, starting in verse 2, there was silence for 30 minutes, but that's it. The silence becomes a roar. The silence becomes a roar. And beginning here in the second verse and continuing on, heaven is going to make noise, and all men will know that it is heaven's roar that they're hearing. They'll know. The first 3.5 years of tribulation, this world will know God is judging. Look back at chapter 6. Look back at chapter 6. Once the trumpet sounds and the church is raptured to heaven, God's wrath immediately begins to be poured out upon an unbelieving world. In verse 1, the Antichrist will rise to power. In the second seal, verse 4, there will be war and peace taken from the earth. In verse 5 and 6, hyperinflation and famine will ravage the peoples of the earth. In verse 8, death will sweep across the planet and millions will die a horrible, agonizing death. But notice, if you will, verse 14. I want you to look at verse 14. Verse 14, it says, now remember, this is after all, this is taking place over a 3.5 year period. This is just unfolding as the days go on. And in verse 14, it says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Aren't you glad you're going to be in heaven for this? Amen. "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Folks, I'm telling you, the people of the earth will know that this judgment that has come upon them has come upon them from heaven. They have a Bible. Oh, they won't read it today. They mock at it today. They remove it from our schools today. They don't like the Bible today. But I guarantee you, when people are raptured to heaven and millions of us are no longer here and the whole world falls into chaos and then the wrath of God begins to unfold and people are starting to die, then somebody's going to say, "Hey, wait a minute, look at this. They've got the 144,000 who will be preaching the gospel. They've got the two witnesses." And you mark my word, CNN will have a camera on them from day one. And everything they say will be broadcast. Men will know that it's the wrath of God that they're dealing with. Men will know. I'm telling you, folks, if America, if Europe, if the Middle East only knew what was coming. But you know, today our world rejects the Lord. Unbelieving men reject God's truth. I don't know how many of you know this, but our own Carroll County commissioners are being sued for, now wait for it, this is awful. You ready for this? They pray before they have a meeting. And they're being sued so they'll stop. The Supreme Court rules to remove God from our public schools. I got an email just this week from an apartment complex here in Westminster threatening legal action if they find any more of our propaganda on their property. Propaganda. I guess pizza boxes and beer cans are okay, but an Are You Sure tract is not. Using the courts, an unbelieving world is working non-stop to remove every facet of God from this country of ours. God says, "Thou shalt not kill," but evil men sue and use the courts to say, "We don't care what God says, abortion is just fine with us." God says sodomy is an abomination, and by the way, it still is. But state legislatures say, "We don't care what God says. Same-sex marriage is just fine with us." But I guarantee you, my friend, at the midway point of the tribulation, these people are going to hear God's roaring, God's judgment, God's wrath. The world will be turned on its head in chapter 6 during the first 3.5, but once the second 3.5 years of judgment begins, God's silence is broken and all of the earth will hear heaven's roar loud and clear. The earth will shake. The heavens will convulse. The pits of hell will open up. God will unleash his wrath on men, and multiplied millions of people will be tormented from God's wrath, and multitudes will die. And the sad thing is that even then, this wicked world will not repent. You look over at chapter 9 for just a moment. Chapter 9, look please at verse 20. Here's, go back to 18. By these three judgments was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their abortions, murders, nor of their sorceries, Islam. Buckle up. Pull your seatbelt here. Don't want you to fall out on the floor. Catholicism. Nor of their fornication, Hollywood. Nor of their thefts, Congress. Defiant until the end, shaking their fists in God's face. I can see these God-hating, Bible-hating, ACLU type liberals standing as mad as they can be, shaking their fists in God's face. I can see those Middle Eastern Muslims holding on and hoping Allah is going to come to their rescue. And as heaven's silence ends, the trumpets begin to blast and the storms begin to blow and the roar of God's judgment will ring out of every corner of the earth. So I don't believe that. You have that right. I do. I believe it. It's right here in the book. Lastly, the silence of heaven will eventually be replaced by great rejoicing. Oh, it's going to take 3.5 years. 3.5 years before the roar of rejoicing. But the roar of rejoicing is coming. Look at chapter 19. Look at 19. Notice verse 1. After these things, after the tribulation, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. That's rejoicing, folks. Hallelujah, that's rejoicing. In verse 3, and again they said, Alleluia. Verse 5, a voice came out of the throne. Verse 6, I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude and as a voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thunderings. Hey folks, the silence is now over. And heaven roars with a shout of victory. Why is there all of this noise coming out of heaven? Because, look at verse 11. Here's what everybody's shouting over. Here's what everybody's in heaven's rejoicing over. In verse 11, John said, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Wow. And the armies which were in heaven followed him, that's us, upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh. In other words, folks, look, from here to here, a name written. What is it? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The faithful and true, the Word of God. Out of his mouth goeth the sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And brethren, all of heaven will ring with praise and glory to the Lord. And finally, finally, the world will realize that the Lord is the King of glory. What a crying shame that it will take judgment to convince the world of Christ. But people won't believe today. In spite of all the evidence that God's way and God's word works and changes lives, in spite of all the evidence, men refuse to follow the Lord. Old Solomon said one time, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. I'm afraid that's what this world is decided on. The ways of death. Oh, it will ultimately take the God of heaven having to step in and physically judge this old world to convince men to follow Christ. So stuck on sin, on self, on the lies of the devil, and they will be defiant right down to the bitter end. My friend, you better put your faith in the right place. Every single person under the sound of my voice tonight needs to stop and consider if you are ready to face the Lord of heaven. You either believe he is God's son or you don't. There is no gray area. There is no area for the unconcerned. You're either saved or you're lost. Now, I just happen to believe that he is God's son. I've called upon his name and asked him to be my savior. What God has written in his word, I believe it. My question is, do you believe what God says? I read chapter 8, verse 1 this week and I said, wow. The busiest place in the universe is one day going to go silent. And for 30 whole minutes. Wow. Not a peep out of the millions of the redeemed who will be there. Not a sound out of all of those angels. Not a whimper out of a thankful multitude of saved people. Why the silence? Folks, we always stand silent whenever we know some huge event is about to happen. And once Jesus steps out on the clouds with judgment in his hands, the world will know why all of heaven stood still for the space of half an hour. Look at 21:8. And I'm done. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And may I remind you that the Lord Jesus talked about hell an awful lot. And one of the things that our Lord said about hell is this: in hell, there is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. There won't be any silence there. If I were you, I'd get on God's side. Amen. And I'd do it quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.